If you look with me in your Bibles for just a few moments this evening in the book of Acts, chapter number 26, Acts chapter number 26 and verse 18, you saw this verse towards the end of our video, and as my wife and I began deputation, we asked, Lord, would you give us a theme verse, a verse that we could really claim and hold on to, and as for what you have called us to do in the country of Greenland. And the Lord gave us Acts chapter number 26 and verse 18. It says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And as I begin to think about the darkness, and as my wife and I took our survey trip last February, and about from the end of November to the end of January, you have 3 months where the sun does not come above the horizon. It's just like a twilight, is about as light as it gets for those 3 months. And we were there just as, you know, we had some day, you know, during the day while we were there in February. But so you have the physical darkness there, but just in a couple weeks while we were there, it was easy to see the people in spiritual darkness. As I showed on the video, it is the highest suicide rate per capita in the world, and it doesn't take long. You're in a small-knit community, a small village. There's a village of Lewisat, a town of 5,000 people, and as you're walking around, you can see the depression. You can see the people looking for hope, and so you know what they turn to. They turn to what the world has to offer them. They turn to their drugs. They turn to their alcohol, looking for something to satisfy a need in their life, not realizing, not understanding that the only thing that will satisfy their need is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I begin to think about this verse, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and realizing that we have that thing, the gospel, that can and will change their life. And not just, as I begin to think about the darkness that's in Greenland, we realize that that darkness is everywhere, don't we, this evening? It's not just somewhere in a remote village in another part of the world, but we see that darkness. We see those blind to the gospel of Jesus Christ all around us. And I begin to think about the power of our testimony. Do we realize this evening that our testimony has power? Not because of who we are or what we've done, but our testimony has power because of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us. And for just a few moments this evening, I'd like us to look at several reasons why our testimony has power and why we should be willing to share it with those around us. I won't take the time tonight to do it, but if you were to go back and read Acts chapter number 26, even Acts chapter number 25, you'll find the Apostle Paul, who God has used in such a great and mighty way. We find him here towards the end of his life, and he wants to preach the gospel in Rome. We know how God has used him to plant most of the churches throughout the then known world. We know that a lot of our New Testament is written by the Apostle Paul, and God has used him in great and mighty ways. And here he is towards the end of his life. He wants to go to Rome and preach the gospel, and he's been taken prisoner here. And we find him towards the end of Acts 25 being brought before a council. He's being brought before a group of men, particularly led by this man by the name of King Agrippa. And the Apostle Paul is asked to give a defense for himself. Look with me, if you would, at verse 27 of Acts 25, the very last verse of Acts 25. It says, for it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. And so these men said, well, we want to send Paul on his way to Rome, but we can't send him unless we find some crime that he's done. So maybe if we bring him in here and let him talk long enough, maybe we can find something that he's done wrong and we can ship him out on his way. And so they bring the Apostle Paul before him. It says in verse 1, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. Now, I think of the Apostle Paul, who I mentioned God has used in mighty ways. You know, he could have given many things as a defense for himself. He could have talked about it. He's set under the feet of Gamaliel and how he had been a learned man. And he could have said all these things. But if you read Acts chapter number 26, you'll simply see that Paul shared his testimony with these men. He shared who he was before he met Christ and how Christ had changed and worked in his life. You know, when I think of a testimony, I simply think of a story. You know, we all have a story this evening. We could all go back in our lives and tell the story of where we came from. We could tell our story of our parents, the lives we had, maybe the schools we went to, the jobs we had, and to how we got to where we're sitting in these chairs tonight. You know, and all of our stories would be different. But when it comes to our salvation story, our salvation testimony, if we're saved this evening, we only came one way. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we see here our testimony. I think a very simple definition of a testimony would be a first-hand authentication of a fact or an open acknowledgement of something. And when it comes to our salvation testimony, it's simply an open acknowledgement of what Jesus Christ has done for us. First of all, we see tonight that our testimony is power, and we should be willing to share it with those around us because we see a problem presented. We see that in our text verse. It says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Of course, if eyes are going to be open, there must obviously be blindness. There must obviously be darkness. And I think the Apostle Paul knew what it was to be blind, both physically and spiritually. If you were to go back to Acts 9, you'll find the Apostle Paul, after he met Christ on that road to Damascus, he was blind for 3 days. Also, the Apostle Paul talks about a thorn in the flesh, and while we don't know for sure what that was, many scholars think that maybe the Apostle Paul had an issue with his eyes and possibly wasn't able to see very well, but notwithstanding his physical maybe issues with his eyes, the Apostle Paul definitely knew what it was to be blind spiritually. Again, I won't take the time, but if you read verses 9, 10, and 11 here in Acts chapter number 26, the Apostle Paul tells who he was before he met Christ. He tells that he was going to persecute Christians. He was going to have them thrown into prison, having them brought before the magistrate and the judges of that time so they could be prosecuted and persecuted for preaching Christ. And he tells who he was before he met Christ and that he was blinded. Look with me, if you would, real fast at 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, it talks about, in our text verse, the power of Satan in one's life. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse 4 talks about this power of Satan in a life. It says, in Apostle Paul says in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 4, "...in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Wouldn't you say this evening that the God of this world has done a good job of blinding the hearts of mankind? You know, that's the last thing he wants to do, is he wants those in Greenland to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, the last thing Satan wants is your neighbor. Have you go and tell them how Christ can change and save their life. This problem that's been presented, this problem of sin, this universal problem, we know for all of sin and come short of the glory of God, but I'm so thankful this evening. Our testimony is power because there's been a problem presented. But secondly, I think this is very important. Our testimony is power because there's been a solution that's been offered. We simply know this is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul describes the gospel very clearly as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verses 1 through 4, we see that very clearly mentioned. I won't read that tonight, but it's just a very clear presentation of what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. But you know, our testimony is power not just because it's a solution. We have the only solution. You know, Jesus Christ himself declared in John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You can't get to God the Father, but you've got to come through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No other way. You know what gives our testimony power? You know, every other religion in the world, you can name anyone you want to. You could go to where they're founding or whoever they lift up as their God or the person they followed, and you could dig up the grave, and guess what? You'll still find someone there. But you know, you go to our grave of our Savior this evening, you won't find anyone there. You know why? That's because we serve a risen and a living Savior. What gives our testimony more power as a Christian tonight than the realization that we serve a living God? We know the song, "I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living no matter what man may say." And then it answers the question, how do I know he's living? Because he lives right here. He lives in my heart. We see our testimony is power because there's been a problem presented, a solution that's been offered, but thirdly, a life that's been transformed. I think that's important this evening. The Apostle Paul knew what it was to have a transformed life. If you go back to Acts 9, it says, you'll find that after he was healed by that man by the name of Ananias who came and healed Paul of his blindness, you'll find that straightway he went and preached Christ in the synagogues. And then it says, people were saying, what happened to the life of the Apostle Paul? Wasn't this the guy that just days before was seeking to have people thrown into prison and Christians persecuted, and now he's preaching the very one he was days before persecuting? What's happened in the life of the Apostle Paul? And the Apostle Paul can say, point to Christ and say, he changed my life. You know, I think the world around us realizes a difference in the life of a Christian. They realize when we don't say and do the same things. I worked at Hertz Rental Car for a year and a half before we jumped out into full-time deputation. I worked with a couple guys every day that didn't know Christ, and I was praying, Lord, I'd only been there 2 weeks, and I was praying, Lord, would you give me an opportunity to talk to Greg and share with Greg about the gospel? And one day we were going down the road, and he was telling me a story, and I don't remember what he was saying, but halfway through he stopped, and he looked over at me, and he said, Gage, I just want to apologize to you because I was getting ready to say a curse word, and I just want to apologize to you for that. And I kind of sat back in my seat a second, and I was thinking, I've only been here 2 weeks. I haven't said a word to this guy about anything about Christ. But then it hit me, just in a 2-week period of time, he realized that I didn't say the same things he did. And I don't say that at all to lift myself up, but just to say that when we claim to be a Christ-like one, you know, when we claim to be a Christian, we're claiming to be a Christ-like one, a Christ-like follower, one who lives and serves Christ. And, you know, that didn't give me the opportunity to say, well, yeah, look at me and look at who I am and look at what I've done. But it gives us an opportunity when the world recognizes that to say, yeah, I don't say those same things. I don't do those same things. But the reason is there's a Savior who saved me. There's a Savior who changed my life. And the same Savior that did that in my life, he can do the same in yours if you'll let him tonight. That's the power of our testimony, a life that's been transformed. We see our testimony as power because of a problem presented, a solution that's been offered, a life that's been transformed. But lastly, and in conclusion tonight, we see our testimony has power simply, and we should share it with those around us, simply because there's been a command that's been given. We all know Mark 16:15, Matthew 28:19-20. We all know Acts 1:8, that all essentially give us the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know that word go, it's not a suggestion. It's not if I want to today. I might go if I have time today. You know that word go, it's literally a continual command that as we are going, saying we are to be continually going, where are we to go into all the world? You know, yes, that does include the Inuit who have never heard in Greenland or those in Africa or South America, but you know that also includes your next-door neighbor, your co-worker. So many times it's easy in my life and busy and I'm thinking I'm serving the Lord, I'm going about my day and not even recognizing the need of the lady at the counter at Walmart who has a need for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet I get my stuff and just go on by. How many times it's easy to get about in our society and just go and do, and we get busy in life and we don't even see the need of those around us, but just to stop and to realize that we've been commanded to go into all the world, and all the world, it's just that. It includes everyone around us. It includes our neighbors, our coworkers, our lost family members. We're called to go into all the world, and it says to preach. Now, that doesn't mean pastor who stands behind here and preaches on Sunday morning. That word preach simply means to proclaim, and we are all, in a sense, missionaries. We are all to be proclaimers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and then it says it again to every creature. Aren't you thankful this evening that Christ died for all? He didn't die for just a few people, but he died for all. He's willing to save all that will put their trust in him. He died, he loved the world. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In conclusion, look with me if you would back in our text at Acts chapter number 26. I'd just like us to see one thing. Acts chapter number 26. The Apostle Paul gets done here with his testimony, and he really gives maybe what we'd call today as an invitation. I think the Apostle Paul was realizing that the Lord was working in this King Agrippa's heart. And it says in verse 27 of Acts chapter number 26, he looks at the King Agrippa and he gives this invitation. He says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then maybe one of the saddest verses in Scripture, verse 28, King Agrippa answers, Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now, we don't know if King Agrippa ever accepted Christ. We're never told here. Doesn't seem that he maybe ever did. But you know that, I'd like us to go back to that Mark 16:15 verse. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, that doesn't say go ye into all the world and get people saved. We don't have the ability to save anyone. Only Christ can save. We've just been commanded to go and tell. Go and preach. Go and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And leave the results up to God. You know, we might say, well, we might be the one that gets to plant the seed. And for the first time, that soul gets to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. Maybe we get to put a little water on that seed and they get a little more understanding of what Christ has done for them. Or maybe we get the privilege of seeing them bow their head right there and trust Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But you know, no matter where you are in that planting, that watering, or seeing the increase, all are just as important. He's just commanded us to go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me ask us tonight, first of all, in this area of a transformed life, does our testimony have power? Is our testimony losing power because of something in our life that's not right with us and God? Can others look at us and point at us and say, I'm not going to turn to Christ because there's something in your life that doesn't point them to Christ? You know, let us tonight make sure that there's nothing in our lives that would hurt the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, John the Baptist said he was sent, he wasn't that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. And that's, God could have used anything in the world he wanted to. He's God to get the gospel out, but yet he chose to use us, his children. And then tonight, how are we doing in simply sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? Help us, may the Lord help us tonight to realize the need to make sure our life's right before Him so we can be a testimony. And then just to simply to obey the simple command to go into all the world and preach the gospel.